So today we're going to talk about how these carriers can actually help airlines and airports develop traffic. And are the ACMI services actually only a firefighting solution or for scheduled and charter airlines, or actually a strategic and a long-term capacity management solutions? We're going to start with Mr. Luigi as the only scheduled carrier on the stage. So Mr. Luigi, you're actually the only scheduled carrier, and your operations are actually a combination of subsidized and ACMI. So how flexible is actually that model? And maybe you can explain us also your Italian operations.
With pleasure, Maria. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. Actually, you're right when you say that we are, let's say, providing a slightly different model from the strictly ACMI wet-lease operator, because DAT has been in the 35 years of existence since 1989, creating a model developed on two different bases, which is we have a part of the operations which is based on a regional schedule operation, which is performed by our ATR fleet. And the remaining part of the business is actually ACMI and wet lease operation, which is performed by the Airbus fleet. More specifically, we are deploying 14 ATR 42s and 72s. We have seven of the one kind and seven of the others on scheduled operations, which are mostly PSO routes. Right now, in this moment, we have four aircraft that are deployed in Norway. We're currently flying four routes under PSO obligation in Norway, connecting points like Oslo to Stord, Floro, Tromsø, Laxel in the far north. We have one aircraft which is based in Saarbrücken in Germany, flying a couple of services per day to Berlin and to Hamburg as well. We fly domestically within Denmark, which is not PSO operation, but it's anyway sort of regulated by the needs of the Bornholm, which is an island off the coast of Sweden. It's part of Denmark anyway, connecting it with Copenhagen and other points in Denmark, depending on the season. And then we have the Italian operations, which I'm responsible for, which that's a purely PSO operation. We have been performing the flights down there in Sicily, connecting the islands of Lampedusa and Pantelleria, with the three main airports in Trapani, Palermo and Catania since 1st July 2018. And that's quite an important operation for DAT, because we provide a substantial amount of passengers to the whole operation. It's about 275,000 passengers per year out of 1.4 million passengers carried by the whole company as a package. And the remaining part of the fleet, ATR, is available for ACMI as well. So depending on opportunities, because we always are evaluating any kind of PSO which pops up on the markets. There are, from time to time, PSO operations which are available as tenders in Europe, and we make evaluation. If there is an opportunity, we see if we have an aircraft available. Then if it's the case, we, let's say, launch... We participate to the ban, and then if we are awarded, we'll be the operator. It's a good thing to have this kind of operation, because if you gather to reach a certain amount of PSOs, then you have stabilized part of the fleet for a number of years, relatively safely, let's say so. Not necessarily, because you will never know if passengers will be there, but at least part of the operation is sort of subsidized. And then there is the other part of the fleet, which is the Airbus fleet. It's mostly A320s. Now we have five A320s. One is joining the fleet, so it will be the sixth example. It's coming in the coming days. It will be registered JRS, OYJRS. And then we have an A321. So the model, the business model, is actually a double soul for DAT right now. ACMI on one side, the Airbus fleet, and on the other side, it's the ATR, which is the perfect fit for the regional market.
Interesting. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Cadell O'Connell, so as we talked about how you can help other airlines, can you maybe tell us how CityJet influenced the growth of SAS network over the year?
Yeah, sure. I mean, just to give people just a bit of a background on CityJet, we were a scheduled operator. We were a very large scheduled operator with a very big operation focused around London City. We're Dublin-based. And that operation began to decrease in scale because we were basically a small player in a very big market. So we made a conscious decision in 2017, 2018, that we would actually get out of our own brand scheduled operations, and we'd concentrate 100% on being an ACMI provider. Greatly simplifies the business, but obviously it puts you in a different position that your target market is now different. I mean, people say to us, we have potentially 8 or 9 prospect customers, whereas when we were a scheduled airline, we had millions. So we're just totally a business-to-business operation now. That's the way we run our business. The operation we do on behalf of SAS, we've been flying for SAS since 2016 with CRJ-900s. And when we look back at what SAS's regional operation was back in 2014, 2015, they had a regional operator, Kimber Airways, who flew 10 CRJ-900s. But ultimately, we ended up flying 22 CRJs for SAS. And what that created, and you know, we'll maybe talk about this a little bit more in more detail later, what it created was the market, the Scandinavian market, is made up of a lot of intra-Scandinavian flying, regional flying, but also the need to connect Copenhagen and Stockholm to and Oslo to points in Europe. So what SAS were looking for was the ability to grow their network, the ability to participate in markets which would not be feasible with normal narrow-body capacity. And basically what they did was they identified numerous markets where they wanted to have a presence. If they went into that market with their existing fleet, which would have been 320 operation, really it wouldn't have a lot of density. It would just be, you know, one frequency per day. The regional jet at the 90-seater gives the opportunity to look at your both your network scope, to look at there are markets that you can only get into with a certain size of aircraft, that it just won't sustain a larger aircraft, but also gives you the opportunity to look at how many frequencies a day can you operate, and obviously the number of frequencies you operate gives you the ability then to target business traffic and leisure traffic. So we ultimately ended up with SAS, as I say, flying 22 aircraft across their network, and we would have routes such as, you know, Stavanger to Bergen. You know, you might be in the air for 20 minutes. But we also fly from Copenhagen to Naples, Copenhagen to Dubrovnik. So we kind of use the 90-seat jet, and SAS use the 90-seat jet, really to tap into markets where a larger aircraft just wouldn't make sense. So it's really what we do for SAS, and it's the same for other customer airlines. We give them the opportunity with a regional jet to go into markets that their existing fleet would not go into. But the beauty of ACMI is that for a customer like SAS or Brussels Airlines or Air France or whomever we may be flying for, they don't have to worry about acquiring regional jets, recruiting crew for those jets, maintaining those aircraft, rostering the aircraft, scheduling them. What they say to us is, you know, here's your timetable. This is what we want you to fly. Just you turn up at the gate with a serviceable aircraft and crew at that time. And that's what we do. So our business is providing capacity as a service to our customers. That's what we give our customers. So essentially for us, when we look at SAS, we've enabled SAS to develop their regional presence in the Nordics and in and out of the Nordic region. What's interesting as well is that SAS have now set up SAS Link, which is an Embraer 195 operation. And now what you can see is that the CRJ operation is reducing somewhat as SAS Link with higher capacity aircraft fits the markets that we were in. So markets are growing, creating the ability to put larger gauge aircraft in there as well. So when we look at, you know, we probably need to talk to SAS in detail about their strategy behind it. What we can look at is what's happened over the last 7 or 8 years with the CRJ operation. And it's enabled them to look at markets which are not practical on a larger aircraft, look at frequencies which would not be practical on a larger aircraft, and look at the simplicity of having your regional operation, 22 aircraft at its peak, delivered without anybody in SAS needing to worry about recruitment, training, maintenance. It's a turnkey solution, and that's what we deliver. And that enables airlines to step into markets. I think just one or two other quick examples just to give you is we enabled Aer Lingus to go into London City Airport because we had the Avro RJ85. That was a market Aer Lingus wanted to go into. So again, it was the right aircraft for the market, but within their fleet, they did not have an adequate aircraft to do that. There are other reasons that we do wet lease. Some airlines prefer in the summertime to redeploy their narrow body capacity into more seasonal routes. And we would then take up the slack during the, let's say, the leaner business periods and operate the smaller gauge aircraft. So there's lots of reasons that we fit into an airline strategy. But essentially, it's the turnkey solution if you have a network that is only suitable on a smaller aircraft. Lots of airlines would consider, we just couldn't do it because the effort, the investment, ACMI of regional aircraft to regional jets enables you to do that, which otherwise wouldn't be feasible. And it's one area that network planners, like we always encourage network planners in our customer airlines to be creative in their thinking and challenge us to see, you know, if they do have ideas that potentially they can't do themselves, talk to us and see, can we do it? Because generally there's a solution to any network opportunity that an airline sees.
Thank you very much. Eustace, can you maybe tell us what are the advantages of second AOC and what does that bring to the ACMI customers? Also, which flexibility or advantage did you get with Avion Express Malta?
Yeah, so good morning to everyone. Pleasure to be here. So yeah, and answering to your question, actually due to some unfortunate circumstances, Lithuanian authorities are still not being audited by American FAA authorities. And due to that fact, with one single AOC in Lithuania, we couldn't cover US operations. So the decision was taken years ago just to establish the second AOC in Malta and to have a better reach of our customers, because these days we are operating a fleet of 52 Airbus 320 family aircraft, and that naturally gives a lot of pressure on us where to deploy that capacity, especially during winter season. IATA winter season in Europe, it's quite difficult to reach the customers and place the capacity in Europe. So that fighting the seasonalities that gives us a lot of opportunities in other markets. So before COVID, Avion was quite active in Southeast Asia. We're quite happy that we just returned to that market. So we are operating in Vietnam these days. And having the AOC in Malta allows you, as I mentioned, to operate into US. So already for a couple of years, we started in COVID, during COVID times, our operation in Santo Domingo, in Dominican Republic. We had quite a lot of flights into Miami, in New York as well. And that enables us also to talk to other operators and offer that unique ACMI solution on that market, because there are not that many players who are currently operating on ACMI basis in that region. Also worth to mention that different perception of ACMI in Latin America and in North America gives quite a lot of, you know, pressure on our team, and showing all the flexibility, how to deal with authorities, how to comply with all the existing rules and regulations in that part of the world. So we are learning quite a lot, but these days, yeah, we are bringing more capacity to other operators who, due to the unfortunate events with ongoing engine issues, they are requiring quite a lot of capacity out there.
Thank you very much. So you're very active in South America, but do you have like a long-term plan for North America as well?
So yeah, South America, we currently operate in Chile. We have a base in Santiago with our three airplanes out there for all the winter season. It's a good return because before COVID, we've been operating out there as well. So we returned to the same customer. They trusted us. They dedicated the contract. So it's quite challenging and interesting operation. Also, to conquer the South American market these days, we are working on AOC establishment in Brazil, which will open even more opportunities to us in Latin America market, because, you know, Brazil is the biggest country out there, and the demands of aviation and additional capacity of aircraft to move people even inside the country is huge. So we see a lot of opportunities out there. And North America, yeah, I would say that we already did one step. So since mid of November, we are operating for Viva Aerobus. So these days we have 14 airplanes based in Mexico and the different airports out there. It's purely the domestic operation so far, but our customer Viva Aerobus has big plans and big ambitions to conquer US market. So they're currently doing all the US operations with their own aircraft, but I think the time will come and we will see Avion Express units operating on behalf of Viva in into US destinations as well. And there are many other potential business leads out there. And I would say that, you know, working hard in that market, having the local representative in Colombia, so that here helps us to be as close as possible to customers. And we are pushing ourselves. We have all the pressure, you know, from group companies, from even internally in Avion, just to expand ourselves, place the capacity during the winter season in counter-cyclical markets and to serve those regions and those parts of the world where we could operate while having the multi-COC.
Thank you very much. On the topic of the U.S., Mr. Bankovic, so you have recently granted a U.S. permit. And what are your goals when it comes to North America and the entering that market? And how many aircraft are you planning to allocate for that market?
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me. Let me first introduce my company, as we are the smallest and the youngest from the group here. ETF Airways is a Croatian ACMI and charter airline, established 3 years ago, and we are operating a Boeing fleet of three Boeing 737-800. We are mainly focused on ACMI, but we do as well charter flights. As you said, recently in December, we were approved from the USA, FAA. We are happy that Croatia is FAA Category 1 and the certification was quite fast. But still, the certificate came 2 months ago. As well, in the same time, we were IOSA approved. But as we are a small airline, already in November last year, we signed all the contracts for 2024. It means till the end of this year, we don't have any availability. But USA market is extremely important for us, especially for winter period. Gives us better, more opportunity, less limits. We are not limited just to one market, one region, one continent. And USA market, it's a great, not only USA, we have as well a Canadian approval. And we are capable to fly as well South America. We have a lot of requests. We are already talking about December 24. Still, we are a small airline. We don't have any, I would say, issues, especially today where the ACMI is booming, wet lease, it's required everywhere. If we have additionally 5, 6, 10 aircraft, we would easily sell it. But we are a small airline, independent. We don't have any pressure for a profit or so on. We would like to keep our standards in a way that we don't have any special demands. USA and that region is just giving us more opportunities and less limits.
And do you think that North American capacity is oversaturated and or is there any room?
No. It's not at all. There is a lot of, especially, I would say, even in Europe, European market, there is no a lot of airlines certified for USA, and the market is growing, booming. USA market is the second largest globally speaking. We can as well say something else about the commercial points that we offer a little bit lower prices comparing to the USA domestic prices. And we are probably more flexible for all the clients' requirements. So as we are really specialized in the requirements that they need.
Good. Thank you. So we talked about how CityJet affected SAS. Can you maybe, Mr. Valero, tell me how Nora, your subsidiary, is developing the Finnair network?
Well, a good opportunity also to talk about Nora, which is a company in which DET has a 60% investment. Actually, the company was created a few years ago as Fincom, then became Flybe Nordic, whatever. And DET came into the picture a few years ago. And they are developing something like 50,000 flights per year. They are mostly a commuter operator flying on behalf of Finnair. Let's say that right now they are flying all the flights on behalf of Finnair, a little bit a la CityJet, as they did perform for SAS, and as they do. And right now they have a fleet of 24 aircraft, which is 12 ATR family aircraft and 12 Embraer 195, which are deployed on, let's say, thin and a slightly bit longer routes on behalf of Finnair. They're a very good company. Let's say that there is any kind of interference from DAT in what they do, in the sense that they're totally independent, they make their choices, and they're operationally completely independent. They're a very well-run company anyway, and we often take them also as a model for DAT because there are lots of things that we can do together, like joint purchasing, the fact that we use the same kind of fleet as far as DAT is concerned. We can make, let's say, pooling for spare parts and whatsoever. But besides that, there is not any other kind of direct implication in the sense that they do the business for Finnair, and they are instrumental in developing the feeding for Finnair into their Helsinki Vantaa airport hub. So they are definitely instrumental for bringing passengers into their long-haul flights and so on.
Thank you very much.
We're just willing to add one thing, because it was interesting to see that the colleagues were speaking about getting the approval for North America, and also DAT very recently has been approved for Canada. So this will open up opportunities for us as well to tap into the Northern American market. Right now, we're not flying there, but why not in the future?
So already a plan.
Yeah. Great. Always in the plans.
Always in the plans. Thank you. Mr. O'Connell, CityJet is actually, it offers a regional jet ACMI, and that's a slightly different path from of the A220s providers. Can you maybe explain why regional ACMI is different from narrow bodies and how the market actually differs and the long-term goal behind that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the market, our strategy really is that we want to be the capacity provider of choice in the regional jet space. Initially, Europe. Beyond that, that's a discussion for another day. So what our target really is to secure long-term structural contracts with our customer airlines. And that's what we've done, for example, with SAS. It's to integrate our operation as part of their network strategy, not kind of, you know, seasonal activity, or if we can avoid seasonal activity, we will avoid it. Strategically, when we invest in a customer, we'll try and establish crew bases at their location. We'll try and establish a presence. So we've had crew bases in Brussels supporting our Brussels Airlines operation. We've had them in Paris supporting our Air France operation. We have crew in Copenhagen, Stockholm. Right now, and it probably comes as a surprise to people who monitor, who look at CityJet, 80% of our CityJet staff are currently employed in Copenhagen. We're a Dublin-based operation, but our flying is primarily out in Scandinavia. And that's what we do. So we try to establish structurally with our customer. That then means we have local employment. We have local labor agreements with our crew in their markets. Our crew, like all, pretty much all of our crew, something like 97% of our cabin crew speak a Scandinavian language, because again, that adds to the product. So our strategy is to look at our customers as basically a partner who will see us as part of their network strategy. That they shouldn't say, you know, we might get CityJet in this year and not next year, maybe the year after. It's about looking at structural network design and looking at the CRJ or whatever aircraft we may be operating in the future to see that as part of their normal network. The only difference between looking at, let's say, a CityJet aircraft and an aircraft operated by SAS is a logo that says operated by CityJet. Our crew are in SAS uniforms. Our aircraft are in SAS colors. So what we're trying to do is be, I suppose, like the Intel inside that you see on the side of your laptop. We deliver the capacity. That's what we do. But everything that you see or you touch in relation to CityJet should reflect the airline whose ticket you have actually purchased. So that requires an integration. It requires right through at all our organization and our customer airline organization. Integration at the product level, at the planning level, the network design level, And to do that, you need a long-term contract to do it properly. Now, even for our seasonal contracts, we will spend a number of months in advance working with our customer airlines to try and ensure that that integration is in place. So whereas when you look at a regional jet operation, in our view, our strategy is to try and be part of the customer airline's own strategy, that we supply capacity as a service to their network design, and we're part of their strategy. To do that, you need long-term. And I think when it's different from narrow-body is that the narrow-body activity traditionally is probably more seasonal in its design. When you look at the typical regional jet operation, we have aircraft that fly 10 flights a day. Very few of our 320 colleagues or 737 colleagues would have that type of production. But you're also flying in a relatively tight window, probably 5 a.m. to 2300. We don't do through the night flights because that's not what the regional market is. So the design of a network that a regional jet flies is different. It requires a certain level of, let's say, a more complex design than a lot of the activity that you may see on the narrow bodies. Like we have crew who will leave Copenhagen at the start of their duty and they spend the next 5 nights in Norway. Like we do a lot of intra-Norwegian flying. And that's, again, structurally designed with our customer to optimize their use of the aircraft. But that's more something that you can only do with good long-term experience, design, planning, and integration.
Thank you very much. Speaking of aircraft, so the capacity in Europe is rising, and we see that a lot of low-cost carriers are actually looking into extending their fleet with A321s. So, for example, Eustace, do you see a need for A321s as well?
Yeah, actually, very good question. And funny enough, just before this panel, I had a meeting with one of our existing customers, and we've been touching the same topic. Because, you know, knowing all the constraints, slot constraints in certain European airports, our customers, yeah, they are looking into the options to carry as much passengers as possible by using the same arrival departure slot at certain airports. So, yeah. Currently, we operate two A321s, they are for a couple of years already deployed in our Dominican operation in Caribbean, and yeah, we are always looking for opportunity to add that bigger airplanes into our fleet because we are solely A320 family aircraft operator, and we found ourselves that we should focus on having single family type of aircraft in our fleet. We know that. We know how to handle them. We know how to maintain them. And yeah, we will keep it, I think, it for at least, you know, a couple of years for sure in the same way. Looking into A321 as an airplane, yeah, it's amazing, especially in European region, in Caribbean region as well, because yeah, the capacity is bigger. You are carrying from 30 to 40 additional passengers on each rotation. But during COVID, I think all of you know that airplane was captured as a cargo airplane as well. So these days it's quite difficult to get A321 on a dry lease market as such. And actually I see the question about the capacity on a dry lease market. So that, you know, also reflects that question a bit because you have a current dry leasing market it's quite empty these days. And as I'm joking, you know, as an ACMI provider, you know, we should be coming to our customers as a perfect solution without any headaches for them. But unfortunately, we are taking all those headaches to us, and we don't have that magic wand where this year we need to solve, you know, the lack of capacity in the market. Last year, we've been solving the question of crews because there were simply not enough crews on the market, and we've been looking to the, as an ACMI provider, also solving the issues with crewing all across the globe. And yeah, we had to react quite fast comply with all the agreements we had signed, and we've been quite proud about ourselves because last summer we've been able to provide sufficient amount of crew members to cover all contracted block hours over European summer season, and yeah, our customers did not suffer anyhow by that. Yeah, but as I said, returning to a dry lease market, yeah, it's quite difficult as well to us to grow, because yeah, over the past years, while exiting COVID, we've been like an airline of a bit less than 20 aircraft. So over the past 3 years, we grew to 52. We would be willing to add more capacity because, as Marco told, you know, it's especially in European summer season, the demand is huge these days. And to place it, yeah, you just, if you have capacity and crew, it's a matter of days or maybe even hours sometimes to provide it to the operators in Europe. But the current dry lease market is very slow, and the capacity which is available, it simply does not fit in into the ACMI model, because we would be simply too expensive for our customers. And we also need to come as a cheap solution to be evaluated as a good option.
Thank you very much. So more ACMI suppliers in Europe are using Airbuses than Boeings. Is the demand for Boeing aircraft lower because there are just fewer available? Or is there a difference also between the demand in Europe and America? And maybe we can connect that with this question as an ACMI provider. Mr. Bankovic, what is the actual minimum fleet size type usually required to be the cost efficient?
Thank you for the question. Regarding aircraft type, it's hard to say Boeing, Airbus. What we know, this is the reality that especially in Europe, we have, I would say, at least two times more Airbus 320s than Boeings. But on the other side, I can say, as I know as well from brokers' information, that they are selling first the Boeing 737-800 with the best prices. Why we have these small, I would say, advantages? They are really small, like 9 seats more. We have really nice performances on a long flights in a cold and hot environment, but we are talking about small differences. I would say Boeing, Airbus, we don't have any problem to put in on a market any type. The minimum fleet size, that's I would say a tricky question. We want to be a small airline for different reasons. Because we know that in Europe, especially winter seasons are, hard for all of us. But on the other side, we respect that as every airline, we need to do maintenance during the winter. We do trainings. It means, of course, not all our fleets are aircraft are flying with 100% capacity. The minimum when we started, of course, with one, then two, three. I don't see any minimum. Maybe two is really the minimum to be cost efficient. But with three, we are doing quite well. We want to grow to maximum 4 or 5 aircraft. That's it. That's our, I would say, dream and plan and strategy. And that's all.
And just to make it clear, so you would be willing to look into expanding your fleet to Airbuses?
We would like to stay on a Boeing. We don't have any issue. Even on other side, we have some benefits that clients are really specifically looking for a Boeing. We see other requests says, let's say, Airbus or Boeing. Because, of course, with Airbus 320, with 180 seats, we can fly as well with 189 seats. But on the opposite side, you know, if you have a Boeing client with 189, it's quite hard. I don't want to say impossible to take 180 seats. But we are talking about small differences. Anyhow, we want to stay on a Boeing. We are thinking about maybe in the future to change to MAX and similar. But Boeing, it's in our heart.
Thank you very much. Well, speaking about the seasonality of ACMIs in Europe, Mr. Luigi, how do you actually manage that? And as Mr. Bankovic said, do you use this silent time to actually do the maintenance and everything required, or you really fight to or find the solutions to just resolve this seasonality issue?
Well, it's a good point, of course, because seasonality affects everywhere in the world. But you have to keep in mind that when it's summer here, it's winter somewhere else and vice versa. So if you're scouting the market, you can find niches somewhere else. It is true that winter is really, for the northern hemisphere, it's, let's say, the season where you perform heavy maintenance. And that's what we usually do as well to keep everything on track with our fleets. But if you look at what DAT has been doing in the past, we can say that the sky is the limit, in the sense that we have been flying almost everywhere in the world. I remember just before COVID, we had up to 2 aircraft that were deployed for quite a number of months, flying on behalf of Caribbean Airlines in the Caribbean islands, flying between Trinidad and Tobago and so on. We had stints in Bhutan. There was an ATR-42 that was based in Bhutan a few years ago. So you have to look for, let's say, niche markets which are more or less always available. Right now, we have a long-term contract with Air Arabia. So we have 2 Airbus A320s that have been flying on behalf of Air Arabia based in Sharjah. And they have been in contract until probably the end of the spring. And they have been there for more than 1 year now. Last year, we had a couple of Airbus A320s, one 321 and one A320 that went to Air France. One was based in Athens. One other was based in Valencia, flying into the Charles de Gaulle hub. So you have to keep your eyes open, and opportunities always pop up. I mean, the market is quite big so far. We have been helped by the situation with what's been ongoing with the engine issues and other issues that have been affecting the transport industry recently. And if you have the right gauge, then you can provide your capacity for whoever is needing it. So market is still, let's say, working quite well. So there are good chances.
Thank you. I would extend this question to everyone, actually. Do you, Mr. O'Connell, as well, think that managing the ACMI seasonality in Europe is actually searching for the new markets and opening capacities for other?
Yeah, I think the first step, certainly in our strategy, is to try to avoid seasonality. And, you know, pre-COVID, we didn't have seasonality because our operation was structural for all of our customers. So pre-COVID, we had something like 32 aircraft between Brussels Airlines, Air France, Aer Lingus, SAS, and none of those was seasonal because they were structural injections into their network strategy. So that's our preference. Certainly for winter, for us, it's a question of, can we get as much maintenance as possible performed during winter? But obviously, there are constraints with availability of slots in repair organizations. That's becoming a real constraint, particularly on the regional jet, because there are only a certain number of organizations who can actually perform maintenance on the regional jets, on the CRJs. You're also looking at creative ways then of how do you manage your crew situation through the winter, because with narrow body aircraft, typically you can max out or get a very high level of your crew production performed during the summer season. As I mentioned earlier, the typical profile of operations on regional jets, your flight deck are typically flying, you know, 500, 600, 700 hours a year, as opposed to trying to get up towards the 900. So to try and have them sitting on the ground during the winter, it's not desirable. So really our strategy is to try and create a market where we're a structural part of our customer's operation and therefore avoiding the seasonality. But inevitably, if seasonality becomes a feature that we have to continually contend with, well, then looking outside of the typical European summer structure and looking into opportunities in winter, which exist, is something we have to look at. And geographically, where that brings us, we're flexible in terms of our operation. As I said earlier, we can create crew bases at various locations. There's no reason why we can't do that on a seasonal basis outside of Europe or in a market that actually requires more winter flying than the European summer flying. But ultimately for us, our strategy is to try and become a structural part of our customers' operation so that we're not impacted by that level of seasonality. 10% seasonality, that's fine. But, you know, for some of the markets we see, people want, you know, 7 aircraft for the summer and then nothing for the winter. We've turned down opportunity this year. I think it's a total of 9 aircraft opportunities we turned down because we can go out and get 9 aircraft and fly them profitably for the summer. Come the 1st of November, you've now got 9 aircraft and you've got about 50 sets of crew and you've nothing to do with them. So you have to look at that in your integrated into your fleet decisions as well. So having a solution for seasonality, it's always a concern that not just us as a regional jet operator, but I think every ACMI operator has. You can start moving into the ad hoc charter market. That's always an opportunity for downtime during the winter season because you get a lot of sports activity, but that requires a certain infrastructure within an organization to manage. So it's from the outside looking in, there's always a lot of charter opportunities for ad hoc charters, for sports teams, etc. But it's not easy to deliver unless you have an infrastructure which can manage that. So if like us, you're trying to keep your organization focused exclusively on ACMI, providing capacity as a service to our customer airlines, trying to find ways to ensure that the winter is economic is critical. And I think that goes for everybody on this panel.
Do you agree, Mr. Eustace?
Yeah, actually, it's good that we don't have any maintenance people in this audience. So, and training, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but from commercial perspective, yeah, we are willing to, you know, to utilize our airplanes as much as possible because, yeah, we need to make a big portion of our income during the summer season. But, yeah, especially having a fleet of 52 airplanes, that's quite a big impact if we have, you know, close to zero operating during the European winter season. So, yeah, each and every opportunity we have, we do evaluate. And, you know, this was the Avion's idea since the beginning, 19 years ago, once we started the company. And fighting the seasonality, yeah, we've been always looking into various and different opportunities all across the globe. Yeah, naturally, we need to clean the airplanes to prepare for your European summer season and perform maintenance activities on those. So, yeah, and I think everyone was surprised actually this year once we deployed more than 20, you know, operational aircraft for winter season. So the guys from office are saying that now these days the office is hustling and bustling like in summer season. Everyone is busy because normally, you know, during the winter we had some vacations planned or something like that. But now we are fully focused on delivering the ACMI product to the markets, which actually, yeah, we for example, in Mexico, we are the first ACMI provider at all. Previously, no one was allowed to operate on ACMI basis in Mexico. So, big efforts both from our side, from our team, and from our Mexican partners as well. So, yeah, it's quite interesting and challenging projects targets to be achieved actually during the winter operations during this time. So.
Thank you. I'm going to touch this question about leasing, wet leasing, an A320 for a season, or how much would it cost, Mr. Bankovic? No, it's not the question, but for example, do you think, and I would say maybe it's a practice with most of the ACMI providers to just like keep at least one aircraft for an ad hoc basis, because obviously the income in the high peak of the season would be much better for you.
For sure, it would be much better, but we don't have this strategy. We go totally on our other side. We're looking for a long partnership. Of course, we are looking for partners and not clients that are coming back to us, where we can have a deal quite early. As I said, last November, we already managed to sign all the contracts. For a good price, but on the other side, gives us operational stability. As we mentioned, maintenance, training. From November, we know exactly what we will do the entire 2024, I mean, till December. And this is much better for us. Maybe we are losing a little bit of the profit. As you mentioned, the ad hoc gives the best prices, but you never know what can happen tomorrow. Some new problems on the market, probably not. But we decided, as this is our strategy, to have a stability. We don't have any pressure for some investors, some group that we have a key target of some exact profit. We prefer more stability to grow step by step, as I said as well, to stay small, extremely flexible, client-orientated, and at the end of the day, to be happy what we are doing. I'm as well a pilot, and all our pilots and cabin crew are, let's say, our friends, and we respect each other in a way that from the crew perspective, they're really looking for a stability, that they know what is the plan. Ad hoc from the commercial side is, I would say, the best. Then we can say it's not a secret that in ACMI in 2023, the prices were up to 20,000 euros per block hour for one narrow body aircraft, which is super nice, good, perfect. But from the operation side, from the crew side, this is really chaotic to organize everything in a last minute, to change the base, to adapt for a new maintenance base, spare parts. We are living in a special now environment, especially after Corona, where the supply chain is different, difficult. And if you're talking about the airline organization, I would say that this strategy to know little bit before in advance what we are planning to do is better.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Maybe you would also like to answer this question about ACMI market in Europe being consolidated into two or three big groups, similarly to legacy airline groups. And what would be actually your opinion on the trends, and according to these trends now and the supply chain delays, what would be the future of ACMIs in the next 2 years, let's say?
We are aware that there is a big group becoming bigger and bigger, which is that's our reality, and we respect this. But on the other hand, we as a small airline, we see that we don't have any problem to be independent, if I can say, out of the group. as the market is really big, high, we mentioned USA, we mentioned Canada, there is a lot of opportunities for all of us. I would say that this question we can connect as well with, I don't know, if in 10 years, 20, Ryanair will be the biggest airline in Europe, or are we sure that Lufthansa will exist anymore in 20 years? That's I would say, global question about the aviation trends.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Eustace, how is actually being a member of Avia Solutions Group assisting you in elevating your capacities?
So yeah, as I mentioned before, you know, it's, I think sometimes we even outside, you know, outside the group on the market, we feel quite a lot of pressure, well, for us being in that big group. But even internally, you know, we belong to one group, but we are fierce competitors with our sister companies inside the group. So yeah, that puts a lot of pressure internally on our team, you know, to be better, to be the partner number one to be chosen by other airlines. And there is other angle how we see it, because group does not only have, you know, ACMI providers in their portfolio. So we have big MRO company, we have the training company as well. So looking from that perspective, there are quite a lot of synergies in between group companies, where we are able, you know, to train our crews, to maintain our aircraft, and our needs are being adhered. And also, you know, we ourselves are trying to develop to be, you know, as modern as possible. So recently, like 2 months ago, we, Avion Express, bought an A320 simulator, which is being installed in Vilnius right now. So we'll be having those training facilities, and not that dependent on other group company, but yeah, we will be able to train our pilots in quicker and more efficient way, not waiting in lines while simulators are available in other group companies. So yeah, we feel that currently we are on the spotlight from all industry into us. But yeah, as I said, you know, internally we are competing quite fiercely in between ourselves, and that brings, you know, to quality standards improvement, to a product improvement, to be that airline that other our partners or potential customers would see as a number one choice. And we feel that while growing our fleet, once the demand is big on the market, and if there is a tender for 10, 15 airplanes for some operators, we would prefer to deal with single airline as a capacity provider for them, because it removes quite a lot of headache for them while not communicate to three or four different capacity providers and trying, you know, to reach the same product level or same, you know, expected passenger experience as well. So there's a lot of small things which forms like a big thing around it.
Thank you very much. Mr. Luigi, what do you actually do when the industry is so-called stable?
Well, as we stated since the beginning of this very interesting speech, let's say that DAT has been capable of reinventing itself quite a number of times during its 35 years of existence, because we started back in May 1989. And at the very beginning, we had a short Skyvan, which was the single aircraft that was used in the fleet, and it was used to carry freight. So we carried anything from mail to horses, as an example. And then during its growth, things changed. At a point, I'm talking about 6-7 years ago, we had quite a number of contracts with tour operators in Scandinavia. We had a very large commitment to charter operations, which was a sizable part of the activity of the airline. DAT was much smaller than it is today, actually. And then following the shifts of the market, because the charter market developed in a different way to what we were accustomed to do, we finally decided that for the time being, the right model was to focus on these two lines of product, scheduled operations, sort of subsidized way, not necessarily, but most of it, let's say, granting long-term operation that give you some sort of stability. With PSOs, you usually have a part of the fleet which is, let's say, tied to contracts that will last between 3 and 4 years, which gives you some stability. And then trying to place the Airbus fleet on the ACMI wet lease market as well, in this case, whenever it's possible to get medium to long-term leases as well. We were talking about the agreements that we have in place with Air Arabia right now, that we had with Air France and so on. And we are continuously looking for these kind of things. Of course, market changes. So even though right now we don't have any longer commitment with the charter activity, at least it's a very small amount of the activity of DAT right now. Why not in the future? Depends on how things develop. I don't see it coming in the immediate terms, because all the travel patterns has been completely revolutionized, specifically after COVID and so on. But in the future, maybe even freight. Right now, we don't carry any freight. That was the core business 35 years ago, but in the future, who knows, maybe there could be an opportunity. The importance is to be always keen at looking and grab any opportunity that arises. And DAT has always been very, very good at that.
Great. Thank you very much. Mr. O'Connell, so we're talking a lot about stability. Do you also see that the trend in the ACMIs for the next couple of years will be to aim exactly for that?
I think it would be very nice if the market did that for us. It'd be great. But I think we all have to work hard to create that stability in our particular business models. Obviously, you know, we are going through periods right now where we have, you know, the Pratt & Whitney engine issues. We've got lots of, let's say, external factors that are putting pressure on our supply, you know, as a subset of the industry. But certainly, trying to get stability is going to be a function, in my view, of the quality of the product that we can all offer, because we've got to try and make ourselves cost competitive in the marketplace so that the use of an ACMI provider is seen as a standard way of an airline operating it, be it on a seasonal or a long-term structural basis. Like what we've done, you mentioned consolidation. Like we're now part of a merged entity with Air Nostrum in Spain. We created the Strategic Alliance of Regional Airlines last October. And already the focus that we're seeing on that is how can we collectively make our operations more cost effective? Maintenance being one of the areas, being an operator of an out of production type. We have to work together with Air Nostrum collectively. We've a fleet of over 50 CRJs now between us. And it's looking at how not to expect the market to suddenly say, you know, we've lots of these ACMI providers in the market, we better give them stability. I think we have to earn our place in the strategy of our customer airlines to be seen to be a tool that they can use, which can, or a tactical weapon maybe is another way of putting it, that they can use us to be part of their network strategy. They've got to look on ACMI providers not as, you know, a load of people waiting behind the shed to suddenly pounce on them for, you know, 20 grand an hour or whatever it might be. That shouldn't be the view that the industry has of ACMI providers. They have to look on providers as being an integral part of their supply chain, a part of the supply chain which can address seasonality, if that's what they want, which can address particular crises in the industry, such as the engine situations that are being experienced right now, or give them the opportunity to grow their network on a turnkey solution without having to worry about elements of, you know, how am I going to get, you know, 20 regional jets? How am I going to integrate that into my legacy airline? How am I going to get the union agreements and that? How am I going to get the maintenance agreements? How am I, forget all that. I think what we have to do is earn stability. And the way that we can earn stability is by offering a quality, high value product at a cost which makes the airline economics people happy, and with an operating capability which makes the airline network people happy. And finally, delivering a strategy which keeps the strategic people and the shareholders of the airline happy to bring a third party into their operation. So I think stability is something that we have to try and create by offering our products to our customer airlines so that they actually stand up and say, we can use this on a long-term basis. Otherwise, once the engine issues are solved and once delivery issues are solved, demand is going to plummet. We can't let that happen. We have to make sure that we create the environment now that wet lease is part of what the industry does.
Well said. Thank you very much. I believe that everyone here agrees.
Yeah, I would say that I completely agree. This is a fantastic recap of our business and our strategy. This is, yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely agree as well, because ideally you would be unnoticeable by the customer at the end. You will be really part, if you're providing your capacity, then you will be operating on behalf of your customer. And the final customer, that is the passenger, should be almost unable to discern that you're different from your customer. You're part of the production line, that's it.
Thank you very much. Do we have questions from the audience, maybe?
Hi, Bernie Baldwin, representing Connect. I'm interested in the regional jet ACMI work, and I'm wondering, the CRJ 900s have been a good backbone for you, but the last ones were produced sometime in the latter part of the last decade. How long can you keep them going, and what would you see as being the ideal replacement? Embraer obviously has its aircraft. Do you believe there's room for somebody else to come back in the market, like we at one point thought the MRJ would?
Yeah, it's Bernie, it's a question we ask ourselves quite a lot within CityJet. Obviously, the aircraft we currently have, it went out of production, as you say, towards the latter part of 2018, thereabouts, 2019. So we're flying an out-of-production type. What that means is that the support structures for that are not as strong as they would be if it was still in production and if there were still aircraft on the production line. So we can keep our aircraft going. It's really a function of how many flight cycles are on the aircraft. It's a function of the engines, how many, what overhaul conditions are on the engines, etc. But ultimately, I think we, you know, if we're looking forward into the, you know, 2030s, 2040s, can we still be flying an aircraft that were built in 2012, 2015? You really get into a situation of saying, yeah, we have to look at options. Right now, the only sub-100-seat option which is available on the market is the 175. and the Embraer 175. Is there room for another competitor to come in? I'm just not sure that it's a segment of the market that we could see aircraft manufacturers making major investments in. I think the obvious point would be, you know, would Airbus go for a 220-50 rather than 100, you know, sub 100 seats? I'm not sure that will happen. I just, maybe the business case for doing that is more difficult.
Do you think we have to wait until they something like the Heart ES-30 grows to an ES-50 or an ES-70?
I think for certain markets, the Heart aircraft and other aircraft of that genre will come in, and there are probably more aircraft that will potentially target ATR type routes. I think when you're looking at, let's say, the scope of our network, like, as I say, we do 20-minute flights around Norway, but also, like, we will fly from Copenhagen to Naples, we fly from Copenhagen to Nice. There are markets that are definitely jet markets. There are markets that can only sustain a jet of a certain size based on the airline's business model. So there will be space for a sub-100-seat jet. Like, you look at KLM Cityhopper, Lufthansa CityLine, what Hopper doing for Air France. For hub operations, there's definitely markets that require sub-100-seat jets because the majority of the key hubs in Europe depend on that capacity feed. So there has to be a jet. The MRJ, that didn't succeed, the SpaceJet, I should say, that didn't succeed. We can tell people about the Superjet because we operated 7 Superjets. That didn't make it through the selection process, let's say, for continuing in our fleet. So realistically, the regional sub-100-seat market, right now the only aircraft in there is the 175. And I think even to look at a business case for a sub-100-seat jet, I think the environmental issues would come on the planning environment, which wouldn't have been there, let's say, as much when the CRJ and the Embraer were being designed. So realistically, I think it's Embraer. That's what the future would be for most regional operators. If you go forward into the 2030s. Certainly, we can keep the CRJs going, but in terms of trying to grow, you know, if we needed 15 or 20 more aircraft, they're really not available in the used market on the CRJ.
Any further questions? No. Okay, that's about it. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.